Good morning once again. It's good to have everyone with us today as we continue our series on our identity in Christ. And this look at the epistle of Ephesians, I hope, has been very challenging to you. And as we look at Ephesians 5 today, we're going to be continuing the message that we started last week in at the end of Ephesians 4. Paul begins to speak about what the identity in Christ should look like, or our identity in Christ, what it should look like, some things that we should be showing the world that how we have been changed. Because there's a big news flash here. You have been changed if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. There's something different about you now. And it's something different that the world should really be seeing. We are different. You know, as we come to Jesus Christ, we come as we are, but He begins to do a work in our life and He begins to really change us. We're given this promise that He will never, ever stop changing us. God promises that He'll never stop until we are complete. Now, are we going to be complete this side of eternity? Probably not. It's going to take eternity to really finish that work as we see our identity is in Christ and in Him alone. You know, as we get into the message today, I want us to remember that we are not saved by works. What do I mean by that? There is nothing good that I can do to ever deserve to be a child of God. There's nothing that is in me that is good enough to do that. I am only good because Jesus died for my sin, and He's the one who paid for my penalty and my debt. If it wasn't for Christ, I would be nothing, and neither would you. There's nothing in our works that is ever deserving of heaven. That is a gift from God, and it is because Christ died in our stead, and God forgave us. So when we approach people and we approach this life, remember what Paul said here at the end of Ephesians 4, be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as Christ God forgave you. That should be our goal. That should be what we are living for. So as Paul talks about this, he talks about how we are going to have a new character. It's going to be different than the character that we had before I was in Christ. It's going to be something that the people see. Now, as we begin to transition into Ephesians 5 this morning, we're going to start with the first 7 verses here. And Paul continues on and he says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us, and give Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must be not even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. So as Paul continues here in these verses, he begins to tell us that in all things, we are God's example of Jesus in this world. And as such, this must be essentially true in the way that we live. If I am a reflection of God, if I am a reflection of Jesus Christ, the world must see it. They must see it. Not that they should see it, they have to see it. Because why? I am and you are, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, we are His ambassadors. How do people know who Jesus is? Yes, God reveals himself to them, but they also know him by the way that we act and the way that we live. They see us. We're changed. It's kind of hard for us to think about this at times. Because when we talk about God, we talk about him in our reality and what we see. I mean, we can see his creation out here, but have you ever seen God face to face? I have not. I've not seen the Father face to face. Have I seen Jesus in this world today? Have you seen Jesus in this world today? I hope so. Because he is evident in the lives that we live. If we're living for him, we see his reflection. And that is something that is true. And that's something that we have to remember as we live our lives. Am I living a life that is his way and not mine? We are imitators of Christ, but we should never be a cheap imitation. You better make sure that that's true. You are not a cheap imitation of Christ. He died for us. Therefore, we need to be the very best imitation that we can be. You know, in verses 1 and 2, Paul tells us that we're following God's example and that we should be the example of Christ in the way that we live. As dearly loved children, we are these imitators of our Heavenly Father. And Peter reminds us of this in 1 Peter 1, verses 13 to 16. Peter says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he called you as holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" You know, many times I think that we overlook this as Christians. I think many times we overlook this, that we are being transformed into the image of Jesus. That doesn't mean that I'm going to physically look like Christ, but everything inside me and my character is being molded into the same image as our Savior. And if I'm being molded into that image, am I acting like it? Am I living like it? We better be living like that. And how do we do that? We love like Jesus loves. And we are trying to be as holy as we can be in this life. Holiness is something that we don't think about, and we really should. We've got to consider what holiness really means. So what does that look like from God's perspective? Well, I can tell you exactly what it does not look like, and Paul makes that pretty clear as we start going through this. Paul describes it in verses 3 through 6. And I know that many in the church today, they struggle with a lot of these things that Paul talks about. It's just part of being human. It's something that is very difficult for us to overcome. But how do we handle that sin that's in our life? You know, we talked a little bit about this last Sunday, that it's not something that we hide. If I try to hide sin in my life, what is God going to do with that? He is going to shine the light right on it. Nothing is hidden from him. Everything that is done in the darkness, he sees as it is in the light. And he doesn't want us to hide it, but he wants us to confess it, not just to him, but to each other. There's not one of us sitting in this church this morning, there's not any of us that are watching us on Facebook later on, that is any better than anyone else. We're all on the same level. We're all sinners saved by grace. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're all sinners saved by grace. Therefore, if someone comes to you and confesses a sin to you and is beginning to talk to you about it, do you look down upon them? Heavens, no. We should be wrapping our arms around them and helping them through those times of difficulty and sin. Because guess what? One of these days, you and I are probably going to be in that same spot where we're going to need people to come along us and help build us up and help us to get through it. We cannot hide it. It's not something that is supposed to be. You know, but sometimes people will come and they'll say things like this, you know, when they try to justify someone's sin. Well, they've always been that way. They're a good person at heart. Cut them some slack. Is there truth in that? That was a pop quiz. Is there truth in that? People will come and they'll say, well, they're a good person. Have you met a good person? We may know some people that are extremely nice. We know some people that are pleasant to be around that probably wouldn't even hurt a fly. Does that make them good? No, it does not. The rich young ruler came to Jesus Christ and said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus looked at this man. Why do you call me good? There's no one good but God. And that is Christ Jesus saying that. So what in the world makes us think that we are good? There's nothing good in me. Nothing good in me except Jesus Christ my Lord. He is the only one that can make someone righteous and holy and justified by His blood, and that's it. So when people say that they're good, they're a good person, there's nothing good in our hearts. Nothing. And we have to understand that. It's only by Christ's grace and mercy that we're justified by God through faith. That's the only thing that makes a person good. So when they make these excuses, it's hard for us to reconcile that. In 1 John 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Paul tells us that it's because of Jesus that we're saved, and we should not, as saved people, even have a hint of sin that we live with. You know, being holy is a hard thing, but that's the standard and the goal that we should be shooting for. I've talked about that throughout this message series. Jesus is our standard, and He's our goal. That's the one that we should be living for. Yet we still have these sinful natures that live inside us. It's not something that we're going to overcome in this life. Are we going to be perfect living the Christian life? No, we're not. But if we confess our sin to Christ Jesus and one another, He's faithful and just and will forgive us. And that's the point. That's the point. So as we continue on here in Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14, Paul says, For you were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases our Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. As Paul continues here, he's writing to the Christians, and he is telling them and he's telling us that once we used to live in darkness. Once we were sinners that were deserving of hellfire and brimstone, but we have been saved by the grace of God. And because of that, we need to be reflecting the love and the light that God has shined upon us. We need to reflect His goodness. We need to reflect His love. We need to be consistent with the truth. If we are His, that should be our desire. Our desire should be to want to know what pleases God. Do you know what pleases God? Have you thought about that question in a while? Do I really know what pleases my Father? Something to really consider. Is it the good works that I do? Yes, because He's prepared those in advance for us to complete. What else pleases God? Am I showing His love to people? Do I love others like He loves me? What does that look like? Is that just the superficial, hey, good morning, and hug? I do that all the time with people. But does that really show the love of God? In a way. But you know what really shows the love of God? This right here. Speaking the truth. Speaking the truth to people is the greatest love you could show someone. That's the greatest love that you could show someone, is to speak the truth to them. And are we doing that? You know, as we look at this question on what pleases God, the love of God comes from the truth. I just put this in the message this morning. I wrote this message probably 2 months ago. But at this juncture in the message, I got changed this morning. Do we know what the truth is? Let me tell you something. And this can be hard for people. I have seen the comments that have been on social media since Friday about 11 o'clock when Roe was overturned in the Supreme Court. This was a monumental victory for the right to life. It was huge. For 50 years, over 70 million babies have been aborted in this country. 70 million. And if you don't think that that grieves the heart of God, you do not know Him. You don't. Because anyone who can read Psalm 139 and tell me that abortion is okay means that you're not listening to what He's saying. And that's the truth. That is the truth. Do some people disagree with it? Yes. Are they wrong? Yes. I'm not afraid to say it. They're wrong. Because if God knit you together in your mother's womb, and then we think that it's okay to extinguish that life, then we don't know who God is. And we have to walk away from that. Does God forgive? Yes, He does. What's required for forgiveness? Repentance. If there's no repentance, there's no forgiveness. We have to walk away from that stuff. And by golly, we took a step in the right direction. Is it finished? Heavens, no, it's not. We have a long way to go. But by golly, when we honor the sanctity of life, God blesses us. You know, the apostle that Jesus loved, that was John the Apostle. He said this in his first letter in 1 John 4, verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Everything that God has done, everything that He is doing, and everything that He will do comes from His love. And we cannot deny that. We cannot deny that love. And if we begin to equate the love of God with the light of Christ that is shining in this world, then we need to reflect that same light, that same truth, that same love. John 1 verses 1 through 15. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus Christ is the center of everything. Jesus Christ is at the center of everything. And we have got to speak that truth to the very end. You know, in all that we do, God wants His children to shine the light of truth in this world. Am I really being like Christ? I hope that I am, and I hope that you are. Because that's what God's called us to do. These days are very evil, but He's called us to be in this last day. He's called you to be right where you are right now for a reason and a purpose. Don't walk away from it. Stand up and let that light shine. We need to know that there are evil people out there with evil practices and evil deeds that are all around us. There are false teachers that are speaking mistruths. And who knows what else is hiding in the dark that we don't know yet. But God does. And He wants us to shine our light on that. Sometimes we've got to stand up and say, you know what? That is wrong. Absolutely wrong. And here's the reason why. Let that light shine on it and expose it. Because guess what happens? We've seen it happen in our lifetime. If we don't expose it and we don't stand up for it, it will go on and get deeper and further to the point where we may not even think we're going to get it back. I never in my lifetime would have thought that I would see Roe overturned. Ever. But guess what? God didn't stand for it. And it was overturned by God Himself. He exposed the darkness and let the light shine on it. And He's calling us to stand up for the truth and not to be afraid. Don't be afraid. Paul continues on in verses 15 to 20. Of Ephesians 5. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul speaks these words and he says, be very, very careful how you live. Be very careful how you live. Because it matters and it counts. This is the one thing that I've learned being a follower of Jesus Christ. When people begin to see that you are different, they keep their eye on you and they watch like a hawk. What are they going to do with this? How are they going to respond when they're questioned and pushed? These things happen and people watch us all the time. And people begin to think sometimes that if I am doing something that is inappropriate and they call me out on it, I've got them. I've got them. See, they're not the Christian that they say that they are. Guess what God does? He forgives us. He continues to work in our life and to make us better. There's always another opportunity. Always another opportunity. Don't ever forget that. Because the devil will take that and he'll make sure that you never forget it. And he will try to keep it as a thumb on you to keep you from growing in your faith and maturing in Christ. Don't let him do that. You're a child of the living God. You answer to no one else but him. We answer to no one else but God himself. And we must take every opportunity and make the very most of it. Because we are living in the last days. I believe that with all my heart. And I know that Christians have been saying that for a long time. But when we look at our world today and we see the signs that are coming, Jesus tells us to pay attention. Pay attention. Don't waste the opportunity that you have. Not with your community, not with your family, not with your coworkers, not with the people at school. Don't waste those opportunities that God gives you. Take advantage of them and use the very most of them. You know, there's only one thing that we can do as we turn to God, and Paul tells us that. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit, prepare ourselves for action, right? He tells us to prepare ourselves for action. God's calling each and every one of us to do something, to say something, to stand for something. Are we listening? Are we paying attention? And then are we going to respond? That's the big question. It's not just can you hear him, but are you listening? There's a difference between hearing and listening, right? Big difference between hearing and listening. I can hear someone speak, and if I don't agree with what they're saying, I'm not really listening to them. It's in one ear and out the other. But if I'm paying attention and listening to God, I am not only hearing what he's saying, I'm listening to what he's saying, and then I'm going to act. I'm going to respond. That's what God is calling us to do. Are we going to respond with love and truth? And be a good reflection of who Jesus is. That's what he's calling us to do. That's what he's telling us to do. Are we going to be children of obedience? I pray that we will. We have to be children of obedience. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your love and, Father, your truth. Father, and I pray that we understand that when we read the Scripture, that we take into account its entire breadth. We have to not only pick a verse or two from here or there, but we have to see the pattern that you are showing us throughout the entire Scripture. And we use that to determine our beliefs and how we live. Father, use it in a mighty way, I pray. You know, as we go through these difficult times, God, we give you thanks that you've called us to be here. And Father, that your love for us is unsurpassed. It cannot be matched. Lord, and I pray that you would strengthen us from within, to stand upon your truth, Lord, to love people like Jesus, and to see people's eternal impacts that are made in others' lives. Father, I pray that you would use us. Use us this week as we are preparing for Monday, and as we go into this world this week, I pray, Father, that you would just give us the opportunities that you afford each and every day, and may we not waste one of them. Let us shine your light this week in the darkness, and Father, watch you work. We give you thanks for all that you are done, all that you have done for us, and Father, all that you mean to us. We pray these things in Jesus' sweet name. Amen.